summer break this week. Let's find out what's coming up in its usual slot later this evening.
Shall we go on a journey?
I think it's time.
Pandora Sykes and Shirin Carla explore the most controversial genre in television history.
Reality TV.
We've been fans since we were pre-teens, watching Big Brother agog in 2000. Since then, it's grown into an entertainment juggernaut that bleeds into every walk of life.
I had no idea that it would pretty much taken over Britain.
Analysing the entertainment genre that changed the way we view ourselves today.
Your life really never goes back to normal.
Unreal. A critical history of reality TV.
This Monday to Thursday evening at 7:15 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, Mark Steele is back in town. First stop, Nottingham.
Best thing about Nottingham?
It's the vibrancy of the life here and the people.
Excuse me, darling.
Hey, up my duck.
The worst thing about Nottingham is that it's too near Derby.
The most famous landmark in Nottingham.
The Left Lion.
The Left Lion.
Everybody meets everyone.
By the Left Lion.
Or we used to meet at the Right Lion, actually.
You little bugger.
We don't like that.
Hey, up your duck.
Nottingham's only famous person, to my knowledge, is Sue Pollard.
Lord Byron.
Brian Clough.
Edwin Starr.
Torvald and Dean.
Oh, Robin Hood. Is he from Nottingham?
He didn't live here and he wasn't real.
Just lovely to be here.
It has everything.
Get it down, you duck.
Mark Steele's in town.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome to Mark Steele's in town, which this week comes from Nottingham. A charming little village. Not as pretty as Newark or as sporty as Loughborough, but at least it's more violent than Derby. It's a romantic city. Someone sent me a message that went, in Nottingham, hey up me duck, I'll have a player to mushy peas, counts as foreplay round here. Male students are warned by the university before they come here not to be surprised when the bus drivers call them love. What a city! When the bus drivers are ahead of the students when it comes to liberal sexuality. But the first thing you learn if you're brought up here is always when you're meeting someone in town, you meet at the... At the Left Lion, the Left Lion of the two lions outside the town hall that isn't called the town hall, it's called the...
Council House.
And these two lions are about 10 yards apart, but it has to be the Left Lion. To you it makes sense. It must mean that on a Friday night at about 8, there are 5,000 people at the Left Lion, all looking for each other, and no one at the Right Lion. The easiest way to win a game of hide and seek in Nottingham is to stand behind the Right Lion. I were there for 4 months. You're a centre for stag weekends here, aren't you? Because you're in the middle of the country, as it's easy to get here. There are millions of pubs, and on the internet, it says there are 8 women to every man. Does anyone believe this? You can look up the statistics and see this isn't true. Or another way of researching it is to just look around. When you're out. It's amazing who does believe this. One of the most surprising starts to any book that I've read is the opening lines of A Centenary History of Nottingham. Modern Nottingham is a thriving provincial city. Visitors tend to come in search of the people's hero, Robin Hood, and to stare at the pretty girls. Academic book about... If you come here by car or train, then you probably arrive in the area that's known as Broadmarsh, which some people say that it's a cross between Broadmoor and Belmarsh. And it's a very beautiful, a very cleverly designed welcome to the city, as it's a delicate cocktail of multi-storey car parks and rubble. The New York Times referred to Broadmarsh as a new way to regenerate a city. And it's fair, it is a new way, which is to leave it derelict.
I think the reason for all of this is Nottingham is a contrarian city. It does the opposite of what's expected. In fact, Matt, who we'll speak to later, told me he was giving a lecture about Nottingham and said, it's a city where we like to be contrary, and straight away a bloke said, no, we don't. It's in everything you do. In other towns, if they're connected with something that's known globally, they make a huge song and dance about it, like Stratford-upon-Avon does with Shakespeare. But you're known throughout the world for one thing above all else. People across America go, hey, Nottingham, that's where Robin Hood lives, am I right? And you hardly mention him. Instead, if you go to the tourist office in the middle of town, the first thing you see is nothing to do with Robin Hood. It's a piece of wood with "Hey up me duck" written on it. We'll come back to Robin, but there are loads of phrases like "Hey up me duck" that you don't hear anywhere else. Like, if it looks like rain, you say... It looks black over Bill's mother's. That's magnificent because it makes no sense. Or maybe it does, and it is scientific, and there'll be a programme where Brian Cox goes, the amazing thing about rain in Nottingham, it always starts over Bill's mother. You should be allowed to learn Nottingham as a foreign language. So kids from Surrey could do it as an option. For your homework, I'd like you to translate the following, if you would. Get your coat, I told you it were cold. If you've not heard news from Leicester, it's much like Nottingham. It made me right mardy. We were absolutely boggered. You know I'll be happy to help out. Will you send me, duck? Now get on with it. hand it in tomorrow morning, if you would. You do make use of the Robin Hood connection sometimes. For example, there's a dual carriageway through the centre of town, charmingly called Maid Marian Way. And you can see how it gets its name because you look at the metal barrier and the concrete, and the first thing to spring to mind is a beautiful medieval maid. It's an award-winning road. I don't know if you're aware of that. It was voted by architects to be the ugliest road in Europe. Maid Marian Way just cuts the city in half. It's almost impossible to cross, and this is what you've named after the woman in your famous story. It's like if the only recognition of Shakespeare in Stratford-upon-Avon was the Anne Hathaway landfill site. And another huge attraction here, the caves. Nottingham is built on this soft earth that the Saxons discovered they could burrow through. So there are 800 caves here, and you can go down some of them through a door in the shopping centre. I went down there, it's brilliant. They give you a recorded guide that actually says at one point, the cave you are stood in now was built in 1300 before the construction of the current shopping centre. Did someone think there were people living down there back then going, it's handy, because if it gets cold and damp, we can pop up to River Island and get a jumper. Everything here contains a contrarian element. For example, the most famous Notting person ever to people who live here isn't Robin Hood, it's Frank who played the xylophone. Frank played the xylophone in Listergate, entertaining the whole city by not being able to play the xylophone. So at this point, I'd like to introduce Matt, founder of the Bestonian newspaper. Matt, are you there?
Yeah.
Matt, tell us, what was the charm of Frank? What did he do for people not from Nottingham?
Well, Frank Robinson, his name was. He was just there. He just sat there with his little hat on, and he'd play notes, but in no discernible order or anything. And he looked very, very happy doing it. And it was this sense of joy that he'd just discovered it, like a baby who first picks up a thing. And they call him Xylophone Man as well, which, you know, lots of people say, not a xylophone, is it? It's contrarian.
It's a sort of Charles Glockenspiel thing, isn't
it? It's not. It's actually a metallophone he was playing. Oh. So there you go. That's
that's the inside knowledge.
I'm so sorry for not knowing the thing he couldn't play. Could he not play anything? Someone told me he could play When the Saints Go Marching In.
They were probably hearing that in their own heads.
All also, music, Edwin Starr lived in the city of Nottingham.
He lived just outside in Beeston.
Didn't you speak to his partner?
I did. Many years after he died, I was so curious to find out why he moved here. I couldn't work it out. So I rang her up and she was really busy. She went, I'll talk to you next week. And I went, oh, just have to ask now, why did soul legend Edwin Starr move to Beeston? And she paused and went, well, he looked at Woolerton but didn't like it.
The perfect answer. I think you should be more like Beeston, Nottingham. On the platform at Beeston railway station is a huge sign that says, come to Beeston, home of transporting gravel to Attenborough. See, Beeston knows how to make the most of what it's got. See, folk imagine Beeston is not as interesting as Nottingham with its Robin Hood or whatever. Why not bring your kids to Gravel Dare? You do try to attract visitors. You've got a lovely new tram service run on eco-fuel. I saw this exchange on a Nottingham forum. Coming to Nottingham, planning a day ticket for the trams. Was wondering if there are any stops worth getting off at for sightseeing. The first reply went, I got the tram out to Beeston last June. The weather was good, so I sat on a bench on the high road eating a battered sausage. I wonder if at any point, as the city was disrupted for 5 years, as everything was dug up to make way for these trams, someone considered that you could have an underground system, seeing as you've already got a network of 800 caves, and all you've got to do is push the trains in. Incidentally, when the caves were dug, what happened to all the stuff that was dug out? Somewhere near Nottingham, there must be a huge amount of gravel. It strikes me you've never really done what's expected of you, and you can be a bit volatile. The history of Nottingham is just mayhem. A History of Nottingham, A.C. Wood wrote this. In 1754, there were election riots. In 1755 was the bread price riot. In 1766, there was a cheese riot. In 1779, the framework riot. In 1783, troops were brought out for riots. In 1787, there was a meat price riot. In 1795, there were riots about the price of butter. You just have to break things, even peas. The delicacy here is mushy peas. Let's smash them up and see how they like that. You must be very proud of the cheese riots, not you. They were in response to a rise in the price of cheese. It's a good job they don't raise the price of mushy peas. You'd have burnt down everything from here to Chesterfield. The History of Nottingham says, being barrel-shaped, the cheese was easily rolled down Wheeler Gate and Peck Lane. The mayor tried to intervene but was knocked over by an accelerating wheel of cheese. The politician of the time, Charles Fox, said Nottingham contains an uncontrollable spirit of riot. And he's right there, isn't he? I bet people come back from shopping here. You say, you were gone a while. Yeah, hula hoops had gone up fourpence, so I burnt down Woolerton Hall. And then the Luddites started here. Now, the Luddites are famous all around the world, and it started in Nottingham. Anyone else would build a huge park called the Luddite Experience, where kids are given a hammer to see how much they can destroy in 10 minutes. And even if you knock a whole building down, you can just add it to the rubble that's already there in the centre of town. And then you burnt the castle down, Nottingham. This was during the campaign, and you cheer the burning down. This was during the campaign for the vote, 1832. The Earl of Newcastle, who lived in the castle, was an opponent of the vote, so a crowd burnt the castle down. I hear people sometimes from Nottingham say, it makes more sense for Parliament to be in Nottingham as it's in the middle of the country. Well, this is why it can't happen, because you burn everything down. The castle was destroyed in the pouring rain, but I don't suppose you said the castle's burning down. You probably went, there's flames over Sid's shed. Even now, I don't think Nottingham's very deferential to political leaders in this country. Robert Jenrick, for example, is the MP. Robert Jenrick is the MP for Newark, and someone told me that makes him the only MP who is an anagram of the place in which he's an MP. You had a radical MP here in the 1950s whose name was Seymour Cox. That was... And I checked this about 20 times, thinking, no! He was a character in Carry On Nottingham, that's what he was. Name? Seymour Cox. Well, you've come to the wrong place. There are 8 women to every man in this city. Even going to the pub is a history lesson here. There's a huge debate about which is the oldest pub in the city. Some say it's the Trip to Jerusalem, which gets its name from being the pub where everyone met before heading off to the Crusades in the 12th century, which I don't think sounds plausible. Even if that was true, there were probably 2 pubs called the Trip to Jerusalem, and the Crusaders only met at the left one, leaving the other one to go bankrupt. If you want to be noticed in Nottingham, it really helps if you're a symbol of defiance. In May 2022, Nottinghamshire Live announced, "We have seen a video sent in by a reader which shows a naked middle-aged man walking on an open park with his dog. Local resident Rowan Hall, 27, said, 'I've seen him a couple of times. He's a tourist attraction.'" Everyone that sees him films him. He's a tourist attraction. Can't be bothered with Robin Hood. There's a huge literary tradition here. D.H. Lawrence was from Eastwood, Nottingham. Of course he was. His book Lady Chatterley's Lover was the subject of a famous court case because of the section that went, "Throughout the morning, Mella the gardener and Lady Chatterley remained deeply embroiled in each other's naked, writhing forms, while Lady Chatterley's husband, Sir Clifford, said, 'I've seen them at it a couple of times. They're a tourist attraction.'" And before him, Lord Byron, brought up in Nottingham at Newstead Abbey. Westminster Abbey refused to bury him on grounds of his questionable morality, which is understandable because Westminster has a very high bar when it comes to morality. All your heroes here are anti-heroes. They've all got a spirit of rebellion and law-breaking, not playing by the rules. Robin Hood, Byron, xylophone players who can't play. It'll probably turn out that Torvald and Dean robbed jewellery stores to fund the, fund the pool hall in St Anne's. Or your hero of recent years, Brian Clough. Because not only did Brian Clough take Nottingham Forest from the bottom of the second division to win 2 European Cups, he was magnificently unpredictable, anti-establishment, socialist, alcoholic, mad, perfect for you. You probably all know the story of when Stuart Pearce, playing for Forest, had a head injury and the physio said, "We're going to have to take him off, Mr Clough. He's so concussed he doesn't know who he is." So Clough said, "Well, tell him he's Pele and send him back on." I watched the documentary, The Brian Clough Story, and in that it said, Nottingham Forest was a rundown corner shop of a club. And then they won the league and the league again and the European Cup and the European Cup again. Now, for people who don't follow sport, the only way to describe that is that 40 years later, that is still unbelievable. It's like if you looked a list of Nobel Science Prize winners, and in 1979 and 1980, it was won by Danny Dyer. It's just... And it's even more extraordinary that this could be achieved with a team from Nottingham, as the 11 players plus substitutes made up 40% of the male population of the city. I think in 500 years' time, people will think that Brian Clough is made up, and there'll be a TV series about the man who stole the European Cup from FIFA and gave it to the poor of Nottingham. You're spoilt here for heroes. Byron, Frank, Clough, ice skaters, D.H. Lawrence, the world's most famous outlaw. Now, the first thing you have to do with Robin Hood is fight off people who say that he wasn't from here. I got one message that said, "Nottingham stole the legend of Robin Hood from Wakefield." An article in the Eye paper says early tales of the hero place him in Barnsdale Forest, north of Doncaster. And another article says linguists have observed that the original ballad that mentions Robin Hood is written in a northern dialect with many references to Yorkshire. It's a marvellous debate, this, about where someone that everyone accepts didn't exist came from. I went to Sherwood Forest. Now, I made a mistake here. I thought Robin Hood of Nottingham lived in Sherwood Forest. Therefore, he probably used to walk in every day commuting with his arrows and his quiver. Sherwood Forest must be on the edge of town. It's about 50 miles away. And when you get there, you're in possibly the most famous forest in the world, Robin Hood's Forest, and there's a visitor centre that has a sign up as you go in, so it's the first thing you see, and it says, Friar Tuck. A friar at the time of Robin Hood would have been impossible, as friars didn't exist in England. In other words, you've come all this way for nothing. It's made up, you idiot! So there have been many, many Robin Hoods over the centuries. I'm very proud to say that the latest one is with us. Yeah. Robin. Robin, shall I address you as Robin?
If that takes your fancy, sir.
It does.
Why not? We're all friends here.
Robin, so you take people round the city and you try to big up the image of Nottingham as the home of Robin Hood?
I'm leading the way. I've created the Robin Hood Town Tour, which breathes life into the legend and shows off this great city, because there's not a lot here, is there?
Now, one thing I love is you do look very Robin Hoodish. If I
well, it's taken 800 years to cultivate this.
Yeah.
Well, Robin Hood's immortal, isn't he? He's the first superhero. He's a very malleable character. So as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I am Robin Hood. And when people come on the tour, especially Americans, they believe me.
I bet the rich ones are terrified.
There's different chapters of the evolution of the legend. In the 16th century, 17th century, the legend is gentrified. So he is the Earl of Huntingdon, born of Locksley. But the original medieval Robin Hood was a desperate and dangerous cutthroat criminal. So, yes, the original Robin Hood would look more like me rather than Kevin Costner. Yes? But one thing I will say is that people want to believe in the legend, don't they?
Yes.
You know, and this is why it's important. And he's a symbol of the innate goodness within man. He's a symbol of the spirit of the common people rising up to fight tyranny and injustice. And that is just as relevant today as it ever has been, isn't it? And so this, my friend, is why Robin Hood's important.
Magnificent speech, Robin. Unfortunately, because it's the BBC, we're now going to have a minute of Nigel Farage for balance. Thank you very much, Robin. So now there are Disney versions and films with Russell Crowe. There's a Mel Brooks version called Men in Tights. There's a version by the Muppets in which Miss Piggy is Sister Tuck, which suggests that's the only one that understands Nottingham, because if Robin Hood was a man, his eight merry men must all have been women. And we are honoured to have with us an actual sheriff of Nottingham. Nicola Heaton, you are the sheriff of Nottingham.
I am the sheriff of Nottingham, yes. I'm expecting more booze than that.
How should we address you? Are you the sheriff? We have to...
Sheriff, I guess, or just Nicola, obviously. But
I think you should insist on sheriff. And do you, like, when you tell people, presumably usually people go, oh, yes, well, I'm Little Miss Muffet. Do you ever feel like you should play up to it a little bit? And, like, you're on the same row as Robin there.
I have noticed you brought Robin Hood to me. But, yeah, I'm hoping to take up archery, obviously, to beat my nemesis.
Also with us is Mayor Wendy.
Hello. It's Lord Mayor, actually.
Oh, no. In an unusual end to the recording, the theatre was burnt down. Well, Lord Mayor, Is there an annual ritual in which you're pelted with cheese?
Well, I've only been Lord Mayor for 5 weeks, so, I've got that to come.
One thing I've got to ask you, when the Batman film came to Woolerton Hall, did they have to ask the council for permission?
Well, Woolerton Hall does belong to the council, so yes.
Was there a phone call? Hi, this is Warner Brothers. Hey, up, duck.
Well, since we no longer have a car to take us around, then the Batmobile would be really useful. It would save me having to go to engagements on the bus.
Oh, we should be able to fund that. We'll have to sit outside the council house playing a xylophone. Thank you very much to Nicola and Wendy. Mayor, Lord Mayor and Sheriff. You could make so much of your history here. The first ever branch of Boot the Chemist was here, started by John Boot on Goosegate. Ibuprofen was invented here, which John Boot said shall ease the pain within the head of souls who have become hammered upon a stag weekend. Or indeed of mares who have been knocked over by a lump of cheese. Rally bikes were from here. HP Sauce was invented here. I think if this was America, there'd be a huge sign on the top of Alfreton Road saying, Nottingham, home of Robin Hood. And there'd be a cake shop called Dough and Arrow and a cafe called Fry Up Tuck. And then local criminals would have to spend a week dressed as the Sheriff of Nottingham all day outside the council house, and you could buy gravel from Beeston to throw at them. And instead, the biggest display of any connection with him is a company that sells Robin Hood jacket potatoes from a van. He was the world's first superhero. Robin's right. He's from Nottingham. Of course he is. He fits in with the place because you're contrarians. Your bus station at Barton is used for raves. Your ice stadium is a rock venue. One of the biggest pubs is a church. The place is constantly packed full of lively students. You've got a national water sports centre, though I'd have thought you could have got a cheaper one by doing what you normally do and burning down the national ice centre. You all seem to know each other and know all the little bits and pieces and rituals you do. You all meet at the same place. You all talk about the same eccentric busker. It is a village here. It's the biggest village. And it must be so frustrating, all these versions of Robin Hood around the world with Costner and Russell Crowe, and none of them convey the true spirit of the true Nottingham. So it's exciting, I think, that it's been announced that there's a new Robin Hood film being made locally at last that'll be much more accurate. And I will leave you, Nottingham, with the part of the script that I found most poignant. The sheriff snarled as he heard the news from the messenger that Robin of Locksley had returned from the Crusades. A curse be upon him, cried the sheriff, for he has the impertinence to be the most popular archer in all of Nottingham. Not the most popular, said Marion, for that is Frank the archer. Who sits outside the council house all day firing arrows has never once hit a target. Assemble my men at once, cried the sheriff. But there were only three of them, as the rest of Nottingham were women. Robin sent a note that he would meet the sheriff at the Left Lion to do battle, but this was a trick, for to get there from the castle, the sheriff had to cross Maid Marian Way. Following his victory, Robin was met by the king, who praised him for his valour, his skill as an archer and his fortitude, and asked what were his demands. Hey up me duck, said Robin. We best get archery contest started. It's Black Over Bill's mother's. With this arrow from 50 pairs is I shall dissect this mushy pea.
Mark Steele's In Town was written and performed by Mark Steele.